Hey everybody, Shane here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, new records from Deer Hunter, Turnpike Troubadours, Glenn Hansard, My Chemical Romance, Sublime with Rome, and The Decemberist. Almost every Saturday they do live in-store performances. This Saturday, October 10th, 2 to 4, live in-store performance from Lutheran. Check them out online, Facebook, Twitter, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, this is Monk, and you are now listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says. Shane will drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for
What's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Fairview Heights, Illinois.
Doorway Studios.
Yeah, Doorway Studios with Monk. Welcome to the show, man.
Hello. It's good to be on here.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man. I guess it was like just a bit ago, somebody shared your Lost Session video on my Facebook, and I was like, now I'm drawing a blank already. What song it was? Yeah.
Was it I Swear?
Yeah.
The loop version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brain's a little...
No, you're
little
fine.
Fright.
You're fine.
But yeah, it was, somebody shared that video or your Loft Session, and I was like, man, who is this guy? I was blown away, man. I was very impressed.
Oh,
and
thanks, man.
So shortly after that, I reached out. I said, hey, we're going to get together and record, and now we're here.
Yep.
So,
current moment, present day.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. I was looking forward to this, getting to sit down and catch up with you and get to know you a little better. And
yeah, man.
That song, I Swear, is featured on your Headlines EP, which came out in February.
Yeah, beginning of February, if I remember right. It's just the first track, actually. It starts off with I Swear. And, yeah.
I really liked what the loop version like that. It's just, I don't know. I have a real appreciation for that. I think it's, I can't do it, so it's it's cool to see a stunt like that, and like, but the fact that, like, you know, just the timing of it, and like the fact that you can play a guitar and, you know, bringing multiple instruments all into it and layer it and stuff, and it's really cool to see, especially live like that in that video and things.
Yeah, it's a really fun thing to do, man, because I watched the guitar player Keller Williams, if you know who that is, years ago, you know, about 10 years ago now, do that loop stuff and all that, and I was just fascinated by it, and I finally got one that was, you know, that was worth something, and that was one of the first things I did, you know, because I wrote I Swear back in August of 2014, beginning of August, and then I got the looper at the end of the year. And the reason why I did the whole thing in the first place is because there was an NPR contest for, you know, what Tiny Desk NPR. Yeah. There was a contest to get on the Tiny Desk, you know, and have an appearance on that, which was awesome for me because I watched Tiny Desk for years, you know, and so I tried out for that, and I made a video with my buddy Alex White, actually, and I don't know if you've seen that version, but that's where it started, was that, and I released that in January. And that got a pretty good response, you know. I obviously didn't win the NPR contest, but through that, you know, I've met all types of musicians throughout the United States, as well as, you know, got a couple of things going, and then that's what led up to headlines. So it all started with that looper, actually.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. And there was something on your Facebook you were talking about maybe getting rid of it or something, or
yeah, man.
And then decided not to, huh?
Yeah, I was gonna get rid of it because. Sometimes, you know, I'm working on new stuff now, and sure. it's all electric and band and not solo anymore. So it's kind of just been sitting there, and I realized I needed to update my computer because I also do graphics and you know, edit some videos and whatnot. So I needed to get a better computer, you know. So I was going to make that sacrifice, but at the end of the day, I was like, I couldn't, you know, I'd miss it too much. Because it is fun, you know. Yeah. Even, you know, just sitting there at my house, you know, because I play all the time when I get the chance, you know. It's awesome, you know.
Sure.
Because it's like if I don't like something, have you ever had that problem where you're trying to find the right song, you know, and you just can't find it no matter what through your whole library or YouTube or whatever, you just can't find it. And that happens to me a lot, and that's where I, you know, pop out my looper. And just start adding layers, and next thing you know, I have this, you know, song going.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to hear.
Right, man. That's I don't know. It's crazy. It's so cool that you know, just to build from nothing to something like that, you know. You ever check out Hands and Feet? You ever heard of him yet?
I don't think so.
He's a St. Louis based. He's more electronic. Type of music, but he also does loop stuff.
Awesome. And, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, he's a lot of. I just had him on the show a week ago and met up with him, and he did two live songs for me on the show and in his little studio space there, and it was awesome just to watch him, you know, especially live, go to work on doing, you know.
Yeah,
he's got the, you know, the different like drum tones on his, you know, pad there and stuff, and just all of it come together, and
it's amazing how many people do it these days and how many different ways it can be done,
right?
You know, I think it's definitely catching on to be its almost its own situation, almost like a turntable was,
sure, yeah.
You know, so that's I think it's really awesome, man.
Yeah, we talked just a bit off mic about Fro the Wandering Madman. He does a little bit of that loop and stuff in it, but he's
awesome.
Live as well, and it's he's an incredible talent, man. He's one of my favorites whenever I can catch him, and it's really something. Admirable. I admire that he's like just goes out there and he, you know, believes in the dream, and he's like, you know, lives in his box truck there,
right.
Is and tours the world,
travels around, kicking butt, man,
yeah,
for real.
But yeah, he doesn't do it for the money, he does it for the love of music, and it's really cool to see people respond to that too. And
so, yeah, and he's a nice guy too.
Yeah,
you know, he's helped my guys out with Doorway, you know, like I said before, you know, rap out of his truck at Point Fest, you know, which like led a whole bunch of people to walk up and freak out while they're rapping and stuff, and then that's, you know, that's where we got the idea for our RV and all that.
Yeah, that was cool. You were showing me the RV out there in the garage, and it's really neat that you can have that kind of a mobile, you know, almost a mobile stage of sense with you bringing everything with you and just show up and rock
the
chrome.
Yeah, sometimes we get these harebrained ideas and we just go for them for some reason, you know, and that the RV was definitely one of them where just like, why don't we, you know, do kind of what the Wonder Madman is doing, you know, but twist it our way, you know. And, you know, for those people who don't know, we blacked out a 74 Dodge RV. We just totally blacked it out and put monitors on, you know, built into the side of it, and so we could travel as well and just perform outside of the RVs.
Yeah, man. Party on wheels.
Right, right.
And
Gypsy
you,
caravans, man.
you were saying something about, too, your Hero Inside.
Yeah. So yeah, Hero Inside is it's a 501(c) nonprofit organization that it raises awareness of heroin, you know, mm-hmm. and the effect of heroin related deaths and overdoses and whatnot. And
yeah,
we've done so many things over the past 3 years of events wise, and we have an annual Hero Inside Day around Easter every year, in the beginning of April, where it's just we usually have it in Fairview Heights at a place called Edward Moody Park or Long Acre. And we've raised a couple $1,000s each time, to where we turn around and help people in need, you know, that, mm-hmm. that come to us, you know, they literally come to us and ask, you know, look, I need help, but I don't have the funds, or I don't have, you know, insurance or whatever, and we help them out to get into rehab and as much as we can, you know.
Yeah, that's great, man.
We don't necessarily force anything on them, you know. We just let it come naturally.
Yeah, I got a friend, Zach Michael. He's a singer-songwriter. He's living down in Nashville now, and mm-hmm. he lost a friend, Mitch, to heroin, and he wrote a song about it, called "Carry On," mm-hmm. and all the money go to this the Stop Heroin Foundation or whatever it is.
Nice.
It's an awful thing. It's awful that it's gotten to the point where it's as serious of a problem as it is, especially in our local community. And so it's been a real problem. And I don't know. Hopefully people can get informed and
yeah, there are a lot of organizations around on both sides of the river, mm-hmm. you know, because it is a problem on both sides. And I know in the past week, you know, there's been 8 deaths just in the past week, you know.
Man.
So it just tells you that something, you know, a bad batch is going around or something like that. But there's actually, you know, there's actually something now called Narcan or Naxalone. Narcan is kind of the generic name for it, but to where it's a reversal drug, you know, and it comes either, you know, it comes in this, you know, you have to shoot it into them, just kind of like you've seen Pulp Fiction or something, where he shoots it into, you know, the adrenaline into it. It's not adrenaline. All it does is go into the brain, and it stops all the, it stops the effects of the heroin, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but that's being passed around a lot within the past, I think, year maybe, or 2 years. And I have no doubt that a lot of the rates have gone down in deaths for overdoses of heroin because of that.
Yeah.
That one fact, you know.
Yeah.
And so there are people out there. There's a lot of people out there that are fighting this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're doing it in good ways.
For sure, man. Yeah. Bad stuff. Well, that's an... we don't want to bring it too far down.
Right.
But yeah, this.
I've got friends in low places.
Yeah.
Back to headlines.
Yeah, headlines, man. I listened to this on repeat. Like I've probably at least I think 3 times through, and it's
good enough.
Yeah, it's a. I was really getting it, man. I really enjoy it. Was a baby child. I liked that one a lot too. And
awesome, man.
But yeah, I just headlines, of course, the title track too. It was those were good ones for me. And what gets you into writings? I mean, like headlines, you just obviously kind of talking about the modern society we live in today, mm-hmm. And things. But is do you find particular things that motivate you to write more, or
definitely. I mean, for headlines, it was just a pile of songs that I just really wanted to put something out that I felt was just right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And I already had I Swear, and I had Everyone Is Beautiful, but I didn't have really anything else. Mm-hmm. And those two songs, I think, just defined it of what I wanted to do with it all. And that's where I took that. And at the point in time, it was the beginning. I wrote and recorded all the headlines in probably, you know, like a 2-week time.
Yeah.
Besides I Swear and Everyone Is Beautiful, which I've had since last in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, it was just all really fast, and it was all off the cuff, you know, just of what I was feeling at that point in time and everything. And I had positive inspiration at that time, but then looking around me and everything that was going on in the news and right down the street was also a darker drive, you know, that I think led to songs like Headlines.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where it just came off. It was just what I was feeling at the time, you know.
Sure.
I was just trying to pop it up.
Yeah. Now, I know, like, I mean, I'm not much for, labels, but where would you feel you kind of fall in? Like, is it, do you consider yourself like, more of a folk thing, or is it more, I mean, because you got, we talked even too, but blues, you know, there's a lot of blues influence in there at times. There's a lot of going on. Do you just, I mean, are you just,
as a musician, I like doing or a solo artist, I like doing a lot of different types of genres, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been playing for 15 some odd years or something, I don't even know, but I've been playing for somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And so I've had a lot of time to learn a lot of different type of genres and stuff, and so I try to do all that you know, as many things as I can.
Yeah.
So but Headlines, I would say, is more just a singer songwriter folky,
yeah,
kind of Dylan-ishy thing, you know.
that's exactly what I like for my music, though. I do like when I mean, even though there's similarities between the whole record, but like there is a lot of different, you know, styles and kind of sounds going on and stuff. It's not I like when an artist can, you know, do something a little more rock, a little more, you know, electronic, a little more folk or whatever. You know, it's like there's a lot of different tones and different melodies and stuff throughout the record, even though it's still the same.
I feel like solo artists get away with it more than bands do.
Right.
I feel like when you're in a band, people expect something of you. Once they hear you have an album or two albums out, you know, they expect you to kind of just level up on that same sound.
Yeah.
But I think solo artists get away with it a lot more of changing genres, or in, you know, as long as they're kind of making a statement while they're doing it, you know, or the same statement, people will dig it.
For sure. Yeah.
I don't know why it's like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just don't get, like, we live in this time where...
People expect too much, man.
Well, I feel like everybody wants to have everything in a box, you know? It's like, you're only a rock guy, you're only a rapper, you're only, you know, but it's like, if you can be an artist, you can cross all the different lines of genres. I mean, and if you look at most of the successful ones, there's a lot of them do a lot of different stuff. I mean, it's not... I mean, you look at, you know, all the greats, there's like, but they, you know, there's stuff that's, some of them are a little more rock, some's a little R&B, some's are a little more blues stuff, and there's like, you know, there's, it doesn't have to be all one, you know, one way.
Right.
So,
you know, like, you know, John Lennon, he has a lot of, you know, styles, but it's still him.
Yeah.
The whole time, or, you know, a lot of people, like you said, you know, they're doing a different stuff, but it's still their sound, you know.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be at the Beatles. I mean, as a group, you look at all those records, how different. I mean, obviously, they have a career that spanned
about 10 years.
Yeah.
But
you look at, like, how they went from super poppy to a lot of blues.
Yeah, and experimenting
stuff.
Kind of things. Yeah.
So
definitely.
But yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, and I think it's. You get a lot of it too. As a fan, I hear a lot of it. Like when somebody's new record comes out, and they're like, "Oh, it wasn't as good as their last record or whatever." And people, but then eventually it grows on them, and then they like it. But it's like people are always afraid to, you know, hurry up and judge something right away and not just appreciate it for what it is as art. You know, they won't want to.
There's always like that hype moment when that album comes out.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like a wave. you know, right when the album comes out, that everybody's just so extreme. It's either really good or really bad, you know.
Sure.
I usually wait till after the wave to listen to the actual album. Because I'll even get caught up in it sometimes, you know.
I like to, I don't like to just jump to a conclusion. I like to give it a listen, a little simmer for a while, give it, you know, two or three listens before I really, I mean, sometimes I've been wrong, obviously, you know, listen to a song and I'm like, I didn't really get it, but then I, maybe 6 months later I'll give it another try and it'll hit me, like, for whatever reason, the light bulb goes off and it clicks at it and it's like it all makes sense that time, but, and I feel like for a lot of music, it's all based on the mood of the, you know, it's like sometimes I'm, you know, like I said, sometimes my personal taste, I'm more rock, more, you know, whatever it is that day. And it's like, or maybe I'm in a happier mood and I want something more poppy, upbeat, and or maybe I'm down that day and I want something a little more bluesy. And, you know, so it's just, it's, you know, it depends on the mood. And if I happen to listen to it on the wrong day, then maybe it won't all come together. But, you know. That's how I feel about it.
Like, that's how I feel too, man. I think the hardest part as an artist for me is staying in one genre, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you kind of, you know, I really am based off of emotion.
Sure.
You know, and so, you know, I'll have a song like this. I'll write a song that sounds like an extension of what I did on Headlines today or tomorrow. At the same time that I'm writing something that sounds nothing like it, that's totally, you know, heavier, bluesier, whatever, you know, on electric, you know, or whatever. I'm scrambling stuff all the time, but it's because that's my emotions all the time. I'm never just happy or sad in one day, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's cool, man. I love music.
Sure. So what all do you play? I know in the video you play your guitar.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I'm not really I don't play too many different instruments. I can understand, you know, I understand a lot of different instruments, you know. I could pick up some brass and anything string wise I could pretty much pick up, but I stick to guitar mainly.
What and you said something earlier about Dimebag was one of your biggest influences.
Yeah, man, that dude's like everybody when you were a kid. They had superheroes, you know.
For sure,
I had Dimebag Darrell. That's what I had as a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like more than a guitar player to me, you know.
Yeah,
he's a teacher. You know,
definitely, man. I there's a lot of that Pantera stuff. It's just I love it, man. That Cemetery Gates is one that I think it's a beautiful song. Like
definitely, they killed all their ballads, man. They're different altogether. Right. To me, Dimebag, nobody's been like him since or before, you know. And I've tried to reach that so many times, you know. And it's something that I feel like I've reached at a good point. It's almost like enlightenment, you know. Whereas I feel like I reached it at a certain point, but then to maintain it is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. That dude was killer.
Yeah, you ever check out that project? They did with David Allan Coe.
Yeah, Rebel Meets Rebel.
Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff too.
Yeah, definitely. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
cowboys do more dope than rock and rollers.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a little more like. I feel like that's kind of always where they wanted to take Pantera almost because like it's a little more country.
Yep, and funner.
Yeah, but I mean Pantera. Like, I love Phil's vocals on Pantera stuff. I mean,
right.
It was a totally different twist on it hearing a more country vibe too with David Allan Coe, but you still had the, you know, real heavy electric guitar like
that. Yeah, with Dimebag having all those guitar layers and everything. Yeah, man, and they were totally revolutionary as far as metal goes on how they engineered their albums and how they layer their stuff, and or at least to me, you know, I see Pantera as more than a band, you know, because like I said, but. Before that, and you know, was the 80s, and you had that thrash metal sound, you know, and then Pantera came and it was just totally different. They flipped the script, and there it was. And like I said, I don't feel like there's been anything since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my buddy bought me Cowboys from Hell on vinyl for my birthday a while back, and
awesome.
I've got that framed up in my little music memorabilia room. Someday I'll properly display it, everything, but I haven't really put as much. I don't plan to to stay too much longer where I'm at. So it was kind of the intention of moving into more of a permanent place. And so I've kind of just got everything put in there. I've got posters and records and, you know, just all the stuff just kind of in there. And hopefully someday I'll be able to, you know,
organize
it. Yeah, have like a man cave or some kind of deal, and just later.
It'll come. That's how I was when I first moved to my place too.
Yeah,
it's all a mess.
Right.
But funny, I've CFH tattooed in my. I did this when I was like, I think it was 11 or 12.
Oh yeah.
With just a needle and Indian ink, and
yeah,
and I just poked myself with this Cowboys from Hell logo into my arm.
Yeah.
And that's my Pantera journey, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey.
That's pretty hardcore, man.
All right.
I don't know if I could do that. You ever watch catch Ink Masters? You ever watch that show?
No, I don't watch TV because I just don't get time for it. You know,
sure.
I'm always playing stuff.
The only time I get time is at night, and it's usually I watch on my DVR where I can fast forward through everything. And but I was watching this episode. Me and my wife got into it. We found the first season on Netflix, and now they just ran like.
Whatever. I was gonna say I thought I saw it on Netflix.
Yeah. But we got into it. We just stumbled upon it. We like watching some of those tattoo things, and this one's not as much Ink Master. I mean, there's a lot of drama, but it's not as much of like the reality show kind of vibe to it. It's more about the actual competition.
The other one, okay.
But I mean, obviously they're always fighting.
Is the one that like Dave Navarro is on and stuff? Okay,
yeah.
He's judging. Okay.
But there's what I made me think of is because there was the competition is, you know, they got to do. They get different tasks, whether it's texture or, you know, color and black and grays, whatever the particular theme is for the week and stuff. And anyway, this one, this guy got assigned this thing and his tattoo, and and the girl that he was supposed to tattoo on just decides to, or it was a guy, whatever it was, but anyway, decides to bail. And according to the rules, either you're out, or you can tattoo yourself, or something, you know, or find somebody, or whatever it is. So the guy decides to tattoo himself on his thigh, and tattooed like a flower or whatever the you know thing was for the week. But I was just like, man, that's
tattooed flower.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I mean, right there on his thigh, and then it was like,
I watched my brother tattoo his own hand. He has tribal on his hand, and he got a gun, you know, a tattoo gun, and it's like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Just watched him tattoo his own hand and how painful it looked.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think I'll ever try that.
Oh,
no,
right, yeah. I never, I don't have any ink. I'm a bare canvas. Yeah. I did go with my buddy, Brandon. He, was in the, you know, military stuff. He was in, forget the name, whatever the base was, but down in North Carolina, and he had an artist down there that did like all of his work. He's got a sleeve on one arm, and he has a half on the other arm, and he was going to finish the other sleeve that the guy started. So we took a drive down to his artist in North Carolina, and they let him finish the other, you know, half a sleeve, and I think he. So we drove most of the time there, and then I drove back because it was all wrapped up and everything. And
right.
But I think he did like something like like 8 or 10 hours or something like that, just straight like laying there getting tattooed on his forearm and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's intense, man.
Yeah.
I was watching him, and he goes, you know, he's seeing like he's. You know, gritting his teeth and stuff, and he's,
I haven't had a tattoo, and, you know, I have, like, jail tats, man, let me tell you what, but I haven't gotten one since 2007, so it's been a while for me, like, man, that's almost 10 years, but yeah, what I remember is just, like, very therapeutic.
Sure.
Depending on where it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, everybody always say they're addictive and stuff that, that people, people get into them. I don't know. I just haven't had that whatever it is to, you know, that's permanent enough to want to put on my body. Like, I just, there's a lot of things I really like and stuff. And I just, nothing's said, you know what, I need to I need to put that on my body for the rest of my life. And so, I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, I learned my lesson, and that's pretty much how I am ever since. I'm just right. Like, man, if I get tattoos, I'm going to spend thousands of dollars on them.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be, like, an investment type sure. of thing, you know? Like, if I'm buying a house, I'm going to buy this tattoo, you know? It's going to be on me for the rest of my life.
Definitely, yeah. I never understood the whole thing, like, walking in and, like, picking, that's a nice... Panther.
Off the flash yeah. or something. Yeah. And then they make it, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, well, this represents, you know,
right,
the moon and the stars of my life, you know.
Yeah.
Because I have a sister and she reminds me of the moon. And, yeah. and they make the stories. Yeah. It's the most amazing stories, you know. They're creative as shit. But you're like, all right, well, nice tattoo.
Yeah. So what are you up to these days, man? You're working on some new stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm working on actually band stuff that's a lot more heavier charged with, you know, blues and whatnot, and a little bit of funk too. And we've just been practicing. We played all summer, you know. We played at a festival in Tulsa, Oklahoma called Center Universe with Minus the Bear. It had Panic at the Disco and 3 Days Grace and all types of bands, man. And it was really cool. We played in a bar downtown Tulsa, and yeah, everybody was really awesome, man. And then we just played a couple. We played with Brother Lee once or twice, I can't remember. And yeah, so you know, summertime we've been that's what I've been up to. And then the past month and a half we've been recording here at Doorway. For release at the end of the year.
Yeah, nice, man. So with Doorway, are you guys taking on new customers if people want to come record here, or how's that work?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's mostly it's rappers.
Yeah.
Depending on, I don't think we're necessarily taking on bands just yet, because sure. I'm really the first experimental. Drum recordings that are happening here, you know, and band that's being recorded here. But I think in the near future, yeah, we might have bands that come through.
Nice.
And it might kind of be something like that. But a lot of rappers come through this place and have for a couple of years now.
Okay.
Of all kinds, man.
Yeah.
Good guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really got too far into the St. Louis rap scene. There's been some, like, mm-hmm. I went to see I saw Bone Thugs and Harmony a while back, and
that's what I'm talking about.
Oh man, it was a great show, but but there was like I don't know, 6 or 7 openers or something, guys, and just, you know, MCs get up, they put their CD on there with their tracks, and then they it was a little lacking, because it wasn't really a show, at least when Bone Thugs got up there. I mean, obviously you got all the harmony going on with those guys all
right.
singing together and rapping and things, but he also had a DJ up there with his turntables and
right.
and, you know, mixing live, mm-hmm. compared to just, you know, hit and play on your CD player. And
exactly.
And
see, yeah, well, I mean, that's what Doorway has too, you know. We're really grateful to have that same situation where we have a man called DJ Snow, who's actually been you know, he's Chingy's DJ, and he's been in the, you know, he's known as a freaking legend in the St. Louis yeah. DJ scene, and he's actually on 103 The Beat
yeah.
every morning, I believe. And so yeah, he's our DJ, and you know, I've traveled with him all year.
Nice.
Cool. And then, you know, our rappers, you know, we're grateful to have really talented rappers too, you know. They've won I say we because I feel a part of them, you know. That, you know, you ask them, we're all yeah. one, man.
Yeah.
But I don't rap, but
yeah.
But yeah, they won, you know, Riverfront Times best rap group for I think a couple years in a row, and Slumfest, which is a hip hop, you know, awards thing that happens in St. Louis as well.
Yeah.
St. Louis rap scene is really cool, man. It's awesome. It's I never thought years ago, you know, because I've been playing in the local scene for years, and ever since I was 13, and I never thought that I would be in, I was in the rap scene, you know.
Right.
But I am, man. I've been playing and opening up for rap shows, and for about 2 years now of blues stuff with the band and solo stuff, you know. And
see, I think that's like I saw Matthias and the Pirates.
Yeah, man, those guys, they're awesome.
Yeah, I saw them a little bit ago with the Urge. I guess it was about a year ago now, and they opened up one of those Urge shows, and they just killed it, man. It was so. I mean, Matthias is you know, very talented rapper and the whole group. But he had a live band with him, and they had, you know, the guitar player and the drummer, and then they had like they had a DJ on tables too, and like, but it was just you know, it was great because it was a full band sound, and of course the everything going together was made it a great show, and of course the Matthias's energy and everything getting everybody going, but that's what and same thing, like I feel like I feel like there's a big difference in like rap and hip hop, you know, and like I feel like I'm definitely more into like the hip hop vibe. Like I like Atmosphere is one of my absolute favorites, and actually I saw those guys at Pageant just a bit ago too, and I got Ant to sign my ticket and stuff, got his autograph and picture with him and stuff, so.
Yeah, I like all types. I like all types of rap and hip-hop, both. Dating back from the 90s, obviously, you know, Chronic was big and all that stuff in my life, Tupac and Bone Thug and all those guys, and it just stuck with me through all the years. So that's obviously why I connect with all these guys here.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, though, to be a part of it, to, you know, doing some stuff with those guys, too.
Yeah, it's amazing. Honestly, you know, I was in a band ever since I was 13, and we toured and played all around, and I ended up being in two bands my whole teenage life doing all that stuff. And I never thought that, like I said, that I would be in a group, you know, because it's about five or six of us that are in a group with a whole bunch of rappers, but it's been, you know, just as fun, some funnest time of my life.
Yeah.
You know, going to different places and either watching them play, you know, helping them set up or playing with them in different areas of the United States, which is we've done in the past couple of years. And we're all just a really good team, you know.
Very cool, man. Talking about playing. You want to play one on here?
Yeah, I'll play actually the title track headlines.
Very cool.
Let's chop it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's called Headlines. When you knock on my door, you don't speak word of truth.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. That was fantastic.
Thanks, bro.
I was thinking earlier too, speaking of rap and things, that did you catch that video of Afro? Have you heard of that kid yet? He's like 16 years old, and
Was it that he's rapping really fast, and then he got picked up, or
yeah, he met like I guess he a local guy.
Because I think I saw that video. Is he a big guy?
Yeah, he's a pretty big kid. He's like, and but he's got a big afro, obviously. With the name and. But yeah, he's like some kind of Honda video now. They ran this like spotlight thing on him, so he's got this. I guess he started just spitting freestyle stuff, and then they started getting some attention, and he met up with this guy who was a big mentor of his, and he ended up like taking him out to. Where I guess in New York, and we started meeting like DJ Premier and all these.
Right, yeah, that's the same kid I was watching.
Yeah, all these legends of hip hop and stuff, and then like I guess there was something along the lines with like people I guess didn't believe that he was just freestyling.
Right,
and he was saying something about because he before that he was when he would get in trouble, his mother would make him go read the dictionary.
Yeah. Right.
So he like learned all this huge vocabulary of all these different words, and so he's freestyling with all this, you know, very elaborate vocabulary, and so people just kind of thought it was all, you know, stuff that he had wrote down. But
yeah, he was amazing, man, and I respect anybody who could do stuff like that.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah,
wonderful wordsmiths, man.
Yeah, yeah, very. Quick mind and it's very.
Because I can't do that, you know. I'm more as far as my music goes. I'm more of the, what was that? But I'm more of a sound guy, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I focus on the composition part of it, you know, and then I do the words.
Yeah.
But it's always music first, and then I do words, and words is the hardest part for me, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that's why I respect lyricists so much.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm a big fan of songwriting and writers. I love a lot of the more kind of Nashville country sort of. They're called country. I don't really. It's more Americana kind of stuff. And
I didn't even know about Americana until I had headlines, and then everybody started saying, "Well, it sounds a little Americana." I was like, "What's that?" And then I was like, "Oh, okay. You know, that's what that is called."
Sure. Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, stuff like... Because
I just always called it good country.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, there's... That's the problem. When you say country now, everybody kind of lumps everything in together.
It's
like,
so wide because it's the biggest genre.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I think it's funny, like, you know, people look at, like, guys like Jimmy Buffett's now getting played on country radio and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, Jimmy Buffett has been doing... what he's been doing long before country radio, you know, so it's like, he's not country. Country went Jimmy Buffett, you know, it's like, so you got guys like Kenny Chesney and stuff doing Jimmy Buffett Island sounds like that and stuff, and,
it's interesting, man.
Yeah.
Evolution.
But yeah, I mean, either you got guys like, Bruce Springsteen and stuff, like, I think that's a, you know, true example of Americana, kind of.
Definitely.
A little country, a little rock, and just, you know, lyrics from the heart and stuff, and
right,
I don't know, there's a couple other guys I can't think of, but anyway, there's a bunch of those guys I really like, and it's just I love the way they can tell a story, you know,
definitely
through the word, and but yeah,
I've always liked I start out obviously with like the Beatles and John Lennon and whatnot, but like Tom Waits
was
always
yeah.
somebody that was just a great storyteller to
sure,
me, you know,
yeah.
and the way he did it was so creative. The way he does it is so creative, you know, every time. Just that I always call him like my musical grandfather.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, you know, I'm like just off of a branch of the tree, I'm a leaf on the tree of same tree of Tom Waits type thing.
Yeah, man, that guy, he's got such a cool voice, man. That,
yeah, man.
I love Heart Attack and Vine. That's that's one of my favorites. My friends Moreland and Arbuckle do a cool version of it as well, and they're a three-piece blues band from Wichita, Kansas.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, Tom Waits, man, that guy's he's one of those guys. Like, I don't know a ton of his stuff. I need to probably go back and educate myself more on his. Yeah. Everything I've heard, I've really enjoyed, but. So there's a line in Heart Attack and Vine that gets me, which I just speaks to me. But he's like, he says, "There ain't no God, it's just the devil." I messed it up. "There ain't no devil, it's just God when he's drunk."
Right.
Yeah, and I just like it. It's just a great line.
Right.
I wish I wouldn't have butchered it, but
I got what you were saying. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's. He's great lyricist too.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I heard somewhere that he doesn't write, or I know he used to not write without his wife. Him and his wife, wife would write together.
Hmm.
Is what I heard off of. Actually, I watched a Keith Richards documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
That just came on, and I think that's on that actually, where he talks about Tom Waits only writes with his wife.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until recently.
Oh, he was Keith Richards was just on Fallon the other night talking about his book and stuff, and he was telling some story about he would tell people like he was about to retire, like, you know, this is a, let me give it up, and like just to get people to come like hang out with him in the studio and stuff, and like, and then because everybody wanted to witness if this was going to be Keith's last time recording.
Right.
And stuff, and like. And so it was just a good way to get all your buddies to come hang out and jam with you and stuff. And so he got, I guess he just put out this new solo record also. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a book. Yeah, it was, I guess it was, I don't think he was promoting a book, but it was the record. And I guess he's got a lot of featured musicians on it or something.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah,
his documentary is pretty cool. I mean, it's funny to see how, you know, ate up he gets.
Oh, man, the guy's been at it. The guy's been, it's funny because like, I laugh every time somebody shares it, but I see that thing on Facebook, like, you know, we need to start thinking about the world we're going to leave for Keith Richards when we're gone or something, because he's lived, outlived everybody, you know.
Right, like, and, definitely.
You know, they everybody, all the crazy stuff he's, you know, outlived.
He's one of the people that helped bring blues back to America.
Yeah.
And open it up for a whole type of people who didn't know it even existed.
That's kind of, the whole English movement was kind of weird, man. Like, the fact that, like, kind of blues kind of started here, went over to, you know, England, and then kind of came back, and, like, it's kind of a strange thing,
And what they did do was great, you know. They,
for sure.
You know, they changed it up. It's made it into what everybody plays today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, what exactly gets you into blues? Was it in just, you talked about, Dimebag? I mean, there's definitely blues influence in that too, but, you know, it's definitely a lot more,
I started with Dimebag, and since I was a metalhead, you know, I like to stick with the evil back when I was a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I was just one of those teenagers, you know? But, That liked all the darker stuff.
Right.
So I went from Dimebag, and then I just kind of backtracked on, and obviously beginning of the information age. So
sure.
I Googled, you know, blues probably when I was, you know, 13, 14, and came upon Bo Diddley and Muddy Waters and, you know, Robert Johnson. And, but it was, you know, I stopped at Robert Johnson. It was just like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Just the story and the folklore behind it, his name and everything caught me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be so much to where I felt like I was a part of the guy, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where my blues stuff started, you know. And I just started with the slide and everything, you know. And it takes years. Sure. It takes that's something about blues that I really love. I've started out with classical guitar and went to metal, and so I've been through really technical genres. But with blues, it's more of feeling, and you really have to have that feeling inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the greatest guitar players not have that feeling inside of them, you know. And that it really even revolutionized the way I looked at playing guitar, is when I really dove into blues. So, needless to say, you know, I've been playing the same damn scale over and over again for 10 years, you know. <That's> right, trying to get it right.
Yeah.
And so I went through all of it, man. But yeah, Robert Johnson's probably my favorite. And I really dug, when I was a teenager, just Delta blues. You know, I didn't even really listen to any of the electric stuff. You know, I just really stuck with the stuff that was really, it made me feel like I was outside with mosquitoes and all types of stuff every time I listened to it, because it had that atmosphere to the recordings. And I liked that stuff.
There's my friend Patrick Sweeney,
that sounds familiar.
He's a blues guy himself, and he's from Akron, Ohio, and he tells the story. Actually, I got him to tell part of the story on this show. He in early 2000s, he had a band and had Dan Auerbach playing in his band.
Nice.
And they formed a friendship over the fact they both liked Hound Dog Taylor.
Nice.
And they would always, you know, talk about old blues records, and that got them both into playing together. And so then Pat said one day, Patrick was old enough, he started coming too. And then Patrick Carney from Black Keys as well,
mm-hmm.
Started coming out. And so then and they started jamming together. And Dan tells Patrick Sweeney, he's like, "Hey, you want to check this out?" And it was like the early demo recordings of The Come Up,
really?
Their first record. And he's like, "Well, help me train your replacement," because he knew that was going to be one of the last times, you know, that those guys were going to take off. And and of course, you know, now they're big deal now. But right. It's kind of crazy to.
Yeah, it's funny, because when the Black Keys came out, I was touring around and stuff with my metal band, and I added, you know, blues to my metal sounds, mm-hmm. too, or at least I tried. And the father of my lead singer of my band would travel with us. You know, he was the father figure for all of us little teenagers traveling around playing music in random places, bars and whatnot. But he was like, "Man, you have to listen to these guys, you know," and show me Black Keys. And instantly I was just like, man, like that's the sound that I had, you know, by myself, was just that sound. And I feel like all up until recently I've been afraid to play that type of sound, mm-hmm. because everybody would just be like, "Oh, that sounds like Black Keys," you know. Just like, yeah. Every time I'm just like, man.
Yeah.
But now I don't care, you know.
For sure, yeah.
Now I just go with it.
Yeah, but I feel, I love what they're doing, though, because, like,
they're great, man.
They're bringing, you know, they're kind of, in their own way, reintroducing blues to, you know, hopefully those people are kind of going through, like, kind of what you were saying, discovering it in reverse, like, you know,
they brought it to the forefront again. Yeah. There's no denying it. And even there's all types of blues and everyday pop music, you know. Hozier's whole album is a blues album.
Oh, damn, that guy's, you know, that guy's really good too.
Even the other guy, Ed Sheeran,
yeah,
whatever,
Sheeran, yeah.
He plays some blues here. It's always been a part. John Mayer, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of it out there.
Gary Clark Jr.
Man, Gary's so good.
I actually met him at South By.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was just standing on a corner. And I didn't realize he was such a tall person. Yeah, you know, I walked up to him and was just like, "Oh, crap." Yeah.
I saw him at the pageant last year.
Yeah.
And he hung out afterwards behind the venue and signed whatever. It was actually super cool. Like, so we're hanging out. This guy is just super down to earth, very humble.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And some girl's on her phone, and she's like, you know, "Say hi to whoever it was." And he's like, and she just hands him the phone. And Gary's like, "What? Who am I talking to? Who's this?" You know, he's like, And so he's still, like, holding on to the phone, carrying on a conversation, signing another autographs and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, this is Gary Clark Jr. What's going on? And, you know, it's just like, most people would just, like, you know, get away from me. I don't want to talk to nobody on the right. phone. And but, yeah, he's just super cool. And
I actually had that happen to me when I was younger with the band Circus Survive.
Okay.
Which is, like, I don't know what genre do you put them in. I think a lot of people that don't listen to that genre would probably put them in with emo.
Okay.
But I would call them more progressive rock in a sense. But yeah, the lead singer called me, and my friend had the lead singer call me after my daughter was born and congratulate me on having a daughter and stuff. Wow. And at the time, he didn't have any children, but he told me, he was like, he said, nobody knows this, but I'm going to be a dad too. And it was like, it was really cool of him to do that, you know?
For sure, yeah, that's a neat moment.
Yeah. So yeah, I like when people, artists are personal.
Sure. Yeah, it makes it...
because it's a stressful life, you know, like traveling and you're in a bus or, you know, especially if you're in a little van, you know, all the time. You know, you're always cooped up and you get into your head a lot, you know. So sometimes it's just really hard, especially the ones that succumb to drinking and partying all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be around people, you know, too much.
Yeah.
If they are, it just is a scene. But,
sure.
But yeah, so it's cool when people come out.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess we'll look to wrap this thing up, man. This has been it's been a lot of fun.
I appreciate you having me on.
I'm really glad we were able to work this out and
definitely
getting to come hang and get to meet you and playing for us.
Do you do like double ups? Like I could come back on like months to come?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
And awesome. Whenever you get the record ready to go, and we can definitely hype up a. For the release and stuff, I would love to catch up and...
Can I do some shout-outs?
Of course, yeah, man.
Awesome. I'm just going to wrap, like, what we talked about. Shout-out to... I was to start out with Doorway, all my guys in Doorways. Shout-out to Brother Lee and Leather Jackals. Shout-out to Loft Sessions and all those silly guys.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, I'll,
shout-out to all the Hero Inside people and all those good people in life. And yeah, everybody else that listens to my music, man. I love y'all.
I'll put the videos up on the website as well. So, from the Loft Sessions and anything else you want me to do, and then
sweet man.
But yeah, check out Monk on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and then Monk. That's monkh.bandcamp.com. You can get on there and buy the record and.
Or my actual site, www.monkh.us.
Yeah.
Monk.us.
Yeah. And I guess I streamed it on Spotify on the way over.
Sweet.
So
I'm on Pandora too as well.
So yeah.
So find me on Pandora, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, anything.
Yeah.
And good. Looking forward to having a new album out, hopefully beginning or end of November.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not well. I guess you said the first headlines only took you 2 weeks or so. So,
yeah, this one's probably gonna take about a month or two.
Yeah.
Jeez. We work fast around here, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the key, though, man. Just
we get to do it every day. You know, there's a group of people that come here every day. You know,
sure.
So it's our job.
Yeah, but I think that's the key to stay relevant, though. Just kind of constantly keep hitting fresh content.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. So we don't have the luxury of putting out an album and touring for a year on it always, you know. So it's you got to constantly keep putting in the fact that you have it at this easy of access to it, where you get an idea and you can go in the studio and start working on it, and then
and
watch it come to life.
And, we have it hooked up. We have our own CD duplicator too, so it's like, you know, we literally have our own whole situation set up. Nice. You know, I do graphics, so there's all that, and then we make the CDs, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all just built out of one place.
Yeah.
I think that's what's beautiful about music these days, because back in, you know, the 80s and before that, you kind of couldn't really have that function like that. Now, you know, you can. So
yeah,
it's a really cool thing.
Well, you want to throw a track on here at the end?
Yeah, might as well.
What are you feeling?
Yeah, put I Swear on there.
All right.
First track of Headlines. Check out Headlines.
Yeah. Headlines EP, now available. Go get yourself a copy.
Around the world. World.
Yeah. All right, Monk, this has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Town, I swear, I swear, I swear.
right, the only reason why I fucked up is because my cable started burning on that fucking light. Did you guys see that smoke? Yeah. Yeah, that's the only reason why at the end of that shit, like, it caught me off guard because I was pushing my cable was literally burnt. Like, it was melting. I was like, what the fuck is smoking right in the side of my eye? I thought it was something, like, fell on fire, and I looked down, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's, like, right in the middle of my solo. And no. Yeah, it was burning the bulb. You can stop that. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.